So GCM models then, and are the models that are used to predict climate change. They're coupled ocean atmosphere models. They calculate the structure of the troposphere, atmospheric structure, versus time in a process-driven fashion. So they must simulate both the meteorology and the chemistry simultaneously. Typical grid size is 200 kilometres horizontally, so 200 by 200 is a square. Then you move into 3D, so each 1 kilometre up you've got another grid point. And then you specify the duration that you carry out your simulation over, so you do a 50-year simulation, 80-year simulation, 100-year simulation. Now that's a low-resolution grid. Inside of it we have approximations to the radiation effects. We have approximations to the air chemistry. This is particularly important. You can imagine there's a host of different chemicals out there that are being released by plants. There are a host of different industrial chemicals released to the atmosphere. If we try and simulate the actual chemistry for each one of those species explicitly, so we take, for instance, an HCFC, which we know is a very hot greenhouse gas. That HCFC is going to break down. It will never make it to the troposphere, but it does it via reactive chemistry. So you have to simulate the entire reactive pathway for that chemical alone. It's too hard. So what we do then is we parameterize the chemistry. So again, this is an approximation. The clouds, we don't explicitly spin up clouds. We parameterize what will be going on inside these particular grid squares. We approximate the exchange of energy and the exchange of gases between the ocean and the atmosphere. We approximate what's going on for plant carbon dioxide and methane fluxes. And there are lots of approximations going on underneath the bonnet. The computer code in here is immense. In Australia at the moment then, the CSIRO have had a model that's done this thing for many years. It went from Mark 1 up to Mark 4, so CSIRO Mark 4 was the latest model. And they decided then about 3 years ago it was becoming too hard for them to actually maintain a sufficiently robust model to keep up the rest of the world, and they should combine with all of the other players in Australia. So at that point then, they've developed a climate model which is now owned by the community of climate modellers in Australia. And that model, which is called ACCESS, which is A-C-C-E-S-S, is now using the CSIRO scientists, the Bureau of Meteorology scientists, and any climate change scientists in unis that's involved with this sort of stuff as a big collaborative sort of effort. I think at the moment it's got 200 people writing code. It's massive. And the really weird thing that none of us quite understand who are not in the game, they didn't even start with their own model. They actually used the model from the UK, the HAPI model, at the start. And they're then building bits and pieces around the HAPI model.